Thanks, Jim, for singing that song. I didn't realize how perfect that song ties in with the lesson. In fact, the words of that song is my lesson, so we're done. I appreciate you guys the opportunity to come to you and preach. This may be possibly my last time, I speculate. The last time I preach before we leave. So I appreciate the opportunity. As always, my hope is that what I present is both edifying and scriptural. So if there's anything that I mention or say, sometimes my brain moves a lot faster than my mouth does, or sometimes it's quite opposite. My mouth moves a lot faster than my brain does. So if I slip up, don't be afraid to catch me on that. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17 through 20. We read that, and I appreciate Mike reading that. What a beautiful image of hope is written here, according to the Hebrew writer. The hope of a Christian is likened to an anchor of a ship. Hope of a believer is to the soul what a sure and steadfast anchor is to a ship. Storms may come. The winds and the rains may howl, but as long as the anchor holds, the ship will stay triumphantly in its place. So it will be with the soul of a Christian. You know, when you think of an anchor, what type of words come to mind? What type of images come to your mind when you think of an anchor? Maybe you think of secure. Maybe you think of important. Grounded. Safe. Connected? Those are just a few words that you can think of when you think of an anchor when it comes to a ship, when it comes to hope. So many images come to mind. Even philosophers of old used to even think about it. Socrates wrote that to ground hope on a false assumption is like trusting in a weak anchor. If you've ever been on a ship or if you've ever been on a boat and you put down that anchor, you're hoping that thing sticks because you don't want to go anywhere, especially in a storm, especially in times of high wind. You want to stay right where you're at. You don't want a weak anchor. You know, think about all the analogies with the imagery of an anchor. We have the world, we have the sea, we have hope, we have anchor, soul and ship. Faith and capable. So many analogies in just a few words. There's one exception that exists, however, and a ship's anchor is cast downward. We want to make it heavy. We want to make it sure. We want to make that chain thick and strong, and we're going to cast that down. Whereas hope is cast upward. So, what is it? What is this anchor of a soul called hope? It can be described as desire with expectation of obtaining what is desired, or belief that is obtainable, or composite of desire and expectation. You know, we sit there and say, if you think something is true, it will be. If you think you can do it, you will. If you think there's a goal that you're going to be able to reach, you're going to be able to get there. If there's a will, there's a way. Same thing with this thing called hope. So let's look at some scriptural suggestions concerning hope. It is possible for an individual to have no hope. If you take a look over at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. All my verses are coming from the English Standard Version tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope, but without God in the world. Sadly, there are so many individuals in this world running around in the neighborhood, in the world that we live in, that have no hope whatsoever. They do not believe in the promise of God. They want nothing to do with the promise of God. They believe it's false. I don't know how many times, and I just had this conversation with Quinn, I don't know how many people I just recently hid on my Facebook feed or actually got rid of because I am tired of the lack of trust. And I'm tired of the conversations that they have that just put down God. As much as I want to talk to them, as much as I want to sit there and tell them, look, there is more to this than what you see in modern day Christianity, and you think that you have a clue, you've got it all figured out. I don't know if it would work. It's not necessarily my choice to make sure that, you know, it works or not. But I feel like they have no hope. And I feel like it's a lost cause. And it's unfortunate. It's also possible to have hope, but as we said before, have it grounded in wrong assumption. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 27. Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall. We sing this song to our kids. And it is extremely important. We live in an area, I'm grateful for it. We live in an area that is much more religiously based. You can call it the Bible Belt. You know, there's a lot of churches here. You work with a lot of individuals who, quote unquote, are religious people. But they don't have it figured out. There is one hope. There is one faith. There is one calling. And we need to look at Scripture and find that. And we need to preach that, and we need to teach that. The hope of a Christian is manifested or even proclaimed in observation of the Lord's Supper. We can read 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. If we do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then what are we doing this for? What are we even here on this Lord's Day doing? We proclaim the Lord's death, and we are looking forward to it. And we are hopeful for the return of Christ. And we will do so as a remembrance of him until that time that we can do it with him in heaven. It's possible to be moved away from our hope. You know, you can get a boat, and no matter what you do, you put that anchor down in the sand, or you put that anchor down in the under the water, and it moves. Because a current or various other things are too strong for that boat. You're in the wrong position. You're in the wrong place. And the same thing can be for Christians. If you look over at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that which you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. We need to not shift. If we put our anchor in one place, we need to leave it there. We need to make sure it's in the right spot. Because we can shift from the hope. Finally, there is one hope of our calling. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. As I said before, there is one call. There is one hope. There is one spirit. There is one word. There is one God. There is one Christ. One church. Christ's church. That we need to be a part of. Those are just a few of the scriptural suggestions. I'm sure there are many, many more when it comes to hope. Hope is found, I think, about 151 times in about 141 verses. This is just 5 points made from about 6 or 7 different scriptures. There are plenty more when it comes to hope. So as a Christian, we need to know what is the hope that we are to have. Our scripture for this quarter is 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. It ties in perfectly. I didn't choose this lesson because of that verse, by the way. There is a hope that we need to have. And it needs to be a desire, a righteous desire. A desire that we shall see Jesus and we will be like him. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Remember that verse. We'll get to it too. He will appear, and we will be able to see him as he is. You know, we look at videos, we look at shows, we look at pictures and Bible books and everything else and what they suppose Christ looked like and all the other different things. All that doesn't matter. As long as we are faithful Christians, there is one day that we are going to see him as he truly is. And what a wonderful time that will be. We need to have a desire that we will be raised from the dead to immortality. A couple more verses. I skipped ahead. A couple more verses regarding that we will see Jesus and be like him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, waited for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. But again, we need to have a desire that we will be raised from the dead to immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 19. Reading all that down to verse 24. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then come the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We talk about life after death. We talk about resurrection. We talk about Christ's resurrection. We talk about our resurrection and immortality. We may not, in this lifetime, be around when Christ returns. But we have no worry, as long as we are found faithful and following his commandments, that we will be resurrected and that we will see him in eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful hope to have. Peace and comfort knowing that. We need to have a desire that we may inherit the blessings of eternal life. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 reads, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." He promised eternal life. He promised us, and again, what a great hope that is to have that. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. Revelation 21 and verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Powerful verses here, powerful words here. The understanding that we will not have a headache, we will not have back pain, we will not have the headache of having to go to work, paying bills. We will not have to worry about death. We will not have to worry about pain and sorrow in our life. Every tear will be wiped away. Death shall be no more. There will not be mourning. There will not be crying. Not pain. The former things, the things that don't matter in this world, will be gone. We will not have to worry about a house. We will not have to worry about trying to pack all of our junk in a bunch of boxes and put it in a 26-foot moving truck and drive it clear across country. I'm looking forward to that, by the way. Not leaving here, but actually driving across country. We don't have to worry about all that stuff. That is just temporary things. In the moment, it means something, but in the long run, it means nothing when it comes to the promise and the hope that we have of eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. But what is the foundation of our hope? What should be based on? There should be an expectation, right? If it's desire and a mix of desire and expectation, we need to base it on something, the expectation of the character of God. We understand that God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. We read in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. God, who never lies. He never lies. He's always honest and trustworthy. Mike read in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, he who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement, hold fast to the hope set before us. So many times, I don't know how many articles I have read, so many things that people post on Facebook and everything else, of how false Christianity is. Well, the flood didn't exist because there's all these people with history and everything else. Therefore, it didn't exist. And, you know, this happens over here, therefore, there must be not be God, and all these other different things. It's sad. It is really sad. It's very frustrating. But when we base it on man stuff, it's going to be. When we base it on God and the Word of God, it's not. It is impossible for him to lie. If he said it's going to be, it will be. And what a wonderful promise that is. The promise of God. We need to have expectation of that. He promised before the ages began, again in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. I'm grateful that we do not have instant discipline, negative discipline, as in Old Testament time, because I don't think a single soul would be here today if we did. We'd probably all be stoned or something. If we believe that God did instant discipline, we'd all be zapped by lightning, we'd all be gone. I'm grateful for the patience and the forbearance of God. I'm grateful. We sit there and say, well, why hasn't he come? Why isn't he here? Why isn't he doing this? Now. We want it immediately. Not on our time, it's on God's time. And I'm grateful for the time that we have. I'm grateful that the time that we have of our family members to choose to turn to God, the time that we have with those that are seeking the truth to find that. And we need to take it as an opportunity to preach and teach that and to live an example of that. There is no power in heaven, earth, or hell that can ever nullify or set aside a decree or promise of God.
Amen.
But God's promise that sustained hope is conditional. It is conditional, and it is on our obedience. Don't think that it's a freebie that we have. There is things that we need to do. We need to follow him. We need to have expectation of his oath. Men swear by something greater than themselves, they typically say, I swear by God, this is going to be true. God, understanding that, he took an oath, and he swore by himself. He is the guarantor of that. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16. Switch over. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of his of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. What a perfect payment, a perfect guarantee that we have right there. There is nothing lacking in God's provisions for man, and that which sustains hope. He gives us everything we need. We need to have an expectation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. This perfect gift, this perfect inheritance, we talk about inheritance. Maybe family members pass away and we get this monetary inheritance. It's temporary. It doesn't last. We have this perfect inheritance kept in a perfect place for us. Nothing's going to destroy it. Nothing's going to take it away. Nothing is going to remove it unless we fail to follow God's word. Based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, what an amazing hope and a solid foundation that we can build our hope on. So, what attitude should we have? What attitude are we to have as Christians toward the value of hope? There is great value in hope. Hope creates patience, endurance. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 reads, For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Patience. Endurance. We have the patience and the endurance to be able to bear our burdens, to nurse our sick, to deal with the problems of life, even to gather the fragments of scattered life. That hope produces that patience. It prompts us to purify ourselves. 1 John chapter 3, we read 1 John earlier. First John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Why? Why do we need to purify ourselves if we have this hope? If we don't, that's going to be a barrier for us to even obtaining this hope. We want to resist temptations. We want to be able to deny ourselves and worldly lusts. We want to be able to stand pure and holy before our great and almighty God. And this hope will lead us to that. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hope helps us to know that there is salvation. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, For in this hope we were saved. There is salvation in this hope. It causes rejoicing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoicing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. be constant in prayer. You know, we hoped to have different things happen in our lives. We hope to have exciting things. And when something comes along or we hear something, it causes rejoicing. It causes excitement.
Yeah.
And that's the idea and the attitude we need to have. Hope causes rejoicing. It also keeps us looking ahead rather than backwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We need to look forward. We reach into the future to take hold of unseen realities. Hope produces these particular things, and we need to have that attitude. So, you may be asking, all right, this is great, but how do we obtain this hope? By becoming heirs to the promise. What promise are you saying? Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 and 4. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Well, that was old news, wasn't it? That was given to Abram, soon to be Abraham. That doesn't apply to us, does it? The promise was fulfilled by Christ, was it not? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. Christ fulfilled that promise. So, how do we obtain this promise? How do we obtain this hope? Baptism into Christ. We had a great lesson on baptism this morning. We enter into Christ by being baptized into him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. That's how we get this hope, by becoming heirs to the promise. We've read in Matthew 7, verse 24, everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. There is a condition, and that is that we need to continue in the faith that is grounded and stable. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. We need to continue in that faith. We need to be baptized into Christ, and we need to continue in that faith. As Christians in this world, we need to be faithful to Christ, that we might always have this hope. We need to flee for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 again said, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Do not consider leaving this world today without this hope. There is nothing in this world that is worth it. If there's anything that we can do for you this evening, if there's any way that we can answer your prayers, if we can help you in becoming a Christian, if we can help you in the struggles of life, We ask that you come forward as we stand and sing our closing song.